The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to them, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes life gets messy, doesn't it? The messes can be those manageable but inconvenient and expensive things like a big house repair or car problems. They can be the disasters, marriage breakups, major illnesses, a loved one's death. We know what it's like when life gets messy. And I think we've also all seen how sometimes some people persevere and even grow and mature through the messes. But then other people get stuck. Or they make things worse, even fall into a downward spiral. Sometimes we are blessed in the mess, and sometimes the mess seems to get the best of us. Now, there is no simple, easy way to explain how some people or families or even churches or communities come through rough spots stronger and deeper while others fall in a rut. There's no simple answer to that, but I have seen something that consistently makes a difference. And it's this: when you're in the mess, can you see God at work? No matter what's going on, can you sense his leading? Can you feel strength from him? Can you simply just experience the comfort of knowing that God is with you? And I've seen that that is what seems to make even the most unbearable situations bearable. But if we can't see God, though, if we can't feel his presence, then everything becomes that much harder to endure. So then the next question is, why is it that sometimes we see God? Sometimes we don't. And again, that question right there, that is bigger than we could tackle on any one Sunday morning. So please understand today, I'm not trying to give a complete explanation for why in any given situation a person may or may not see God. But our beatitude today does give us a very good place to start. This blessing of seeing God that Jesus talks about. On the one hand, it's partly about the future. Seeing God face to face in the light of the resurrection. And this is the greatest, the most glorious hope that we can have. But this beatitude isn't just about the resurrection. And what I want to focus on this morning are the foretastes of that great feast. Those times when we can see God in day-to-day life. When we feel his strength carrying us through our challenges. Or can see his light guiding us when our choices are confusing. Those times when we know that he is causing us to grow in our faith and in our maturity through the struggles. Those times when no matter what gets taken away from us, still we are drawing closer to him. And his presence is there as a comfort. See, that's what keeps hope alive. That's what gives us endurance, and that's what gives us a healthy perspective on all the messes that we run into. And don't we want that? I mean, if we can't avoid the trials of life, don't we at least want to be able to see God in the middle of them? So again, how does that happen? Well, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, one thing you got to know is that in the Bible, the heart doesn't mean the part of us with feelings and emotions. Now, the biblical writers understood the heart differently than we do. For the Bible writers, the heart is where our thoughts, our intentions, and our desires are. So Soren Kierkegaard, and with a name like Soren, you know I've got to be a fan. He put it like this in the title of one of his books. Purity of heart is to will one thing. Is to will one thing. Jesus is talking about our desires here. Our focus. And so what he's saying is one of the main reasons why we don't experience the blessing of seeing God is, frankly, a lot of the times, we're not really looking for him. Now let me unpack that a little bit. See, it's not as if God is hiding from us. It's not like God is saying, well, I'm going to wait until they get their hearts pure, then maybe I'll show up. No, God's already always present. And in fact, God is always much more eager to be found by us than we ever are to look for. So if we don't see him, maybe the hard truth is we're not really seeking him. An impure heart means that we don't desire just one thing, God. Our desires are unfocused, our hearts distracted. We might be seeking material comforts, physical pleasures. Jesus knows that instead of looking for God, we so often look for what I call God and. God and an easier life. God and a particular relationship at any cost. God and our politics. There's a joke about churches that says, if the 1950s ever come back, we'll be ready for them. And that's funny, and it's true, because what a lot of churches truly desire is not God and, or is not God, but is God and. How things used to be decades ago. But God is here. Now. Not just in the past. God's not hiding. The question is, what are we looking for? God? God and? Or something completely different? Let me give you an illustration. You probably have not heard of the name Rashid Williams. He's not famous, but he hopes to be. He wants to get drafted as a player in the NFL. He didn't play college football, so to get himself in shape, to impress the scouts and the coaches, he quit his job, sold his car, and moved near a training facility in New Jersey. And he just trains and trains. And without a job, well, he eats a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And when he moved, he bought a minivan. Not just for transportation, but as a place to live. He's living in a minivan in New Jersey. Now, during this winter, by choice. Why? Because he desires one thing. Now, I'm not saying I would choose his path, but his heart is purely focused on that goal. And no sacrifice feels like too much. What do you desire? What are you looking for? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I know that can be so hard. We get distracted. So many things. The house, the car, the bills. We desire more financial security or less craziness. We seek the good things in life, and sometimes we chase things that look really good, but frankly are just going to be disasters for us. We have idols. We fall for lies. So how can we get that pure heart? Where does it come from? Remember, Jesus is not hiding if you don't get it just right. That's not how he works. He's already always near you, ready to forgive all the impurities of our desires. But he's not just forgiving. Jesus is also enough for you. He's more than enough. Whatever you are looking for in life, the deep root of that desire can only really be satisfied in the love of Christ. Whatever it is that you're chasing, what your soul really needs is found only by resting in God's perfect grace. Now you may think you need more time or more money or more answers or more fun. What we need is more Christ. See, it's not that once you get a pure heart, then you'll get to see God. No. It's the other way around. As you see God, your heart becomes pure. So look for him. In the scriptures, you'll find him. Search for him in prayer. He's listening. Receive him in the bread and the wine of communion. Remember how he claimed you in holy baptism. Or if you haven't been baptized, come talk to me about finding him in those waters. Jesus is the God who is good enough to fill your heart, to heal your soul, and to renew your mind. Look to him. Turn away from the distractions and don't chase after God and. When you give all that up, you won't lose anything. But your eyes will be open. You will see God. And your life will have focus and power and grace. And no matter what mess you may find yourself in, seeing God, you will be blessed. Amen.